Welcome to episode 1024 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. After almost 18 months and more than 300 episodes, we have come to the final book in our search for Jesus in every book of the Bible. Jesus himself declares that the entire Old Testament pointed towards him and his mission. Luke 24, verse 44. These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And the New Testament records stories of his life, excerpts of his teachings, stories about his disciples, letters that they wrote, and prophecies about his coming kingdom. Evangelist Billy Graham once said, "From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is a story about Jesus." And that brings us to that last book, which is indeed the book of Revelation. Revelation is also called the Apocalypse because the book's original Greek title is Apokalypsis Uisou Christou, Apokalypsis Iesou Christou, which translates to the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word apokalypsis means unveiling or disclosure, referring to the revealing of hidden truths or divine mysteries. In the biblical context, an apocalypse is not merely about future events, but is a form of divine revelation where spiritual truths are unveiled, often through visions, symbols, and prophecies. In Revelation, these apocalyptic visions disclose God's ultimate plans for humanity, the final victory of good over evil, and the establishment of his eternal kingdom. The term apocalypse has since come to be associated with end-time events, as Revelation is filled with imagery of cosmic battles, divine judgment, and the eventual renewal of all things. So, Revelation as the Apocalypse refers to this book's nature as a divine disclosure of profound truths concerning God's plans, the triumph of Christ, and the destiny of the world. Early Christians received Revelation with a mixture of reverence and caution. Some early church fathers, such as Justin Martyr and Irenaeus, considered it authoritative and apostolic, viewing it as a valuable source of hope for persecuted Christians. Revelation was particularly meaningful in periods of intense persecution, as it offered assurance of Jesus' ultimate victory and the vindication of those who suffered for their faith. However, others, such as the theologian Dionysius of Alexandria in the 3rd century, questioned its authorship and legitimacy, likely due to its difficult symbolism and the fear of its potential to incite misinterpretation. By the 4th century, it was formally accepted into the New Testament canon by the Western Church, though the Eastern Church was slower to fully embrace it. The Protestant Reformation brought renewed interest in Revelation, as reformers found in its message a lens through which to critique the corruption they saw in the Catholic Church. Martin Luther and John Calvin had mixed feelings about Revelation. Luther was initially critical, questioning its apostolic authorship and the clarity of its message, and he even relegated it to a secondary status in his German Bible translation. However, later in his life, he came to accept it more fully as part of the canon, particularly when viewing it through a symbolic lens. John Calvin, notably, did not write a commentary on Revelation, which has been interpreted by some as a sign of his hesitancy to interpret the book's symbolism. However, others, such as the Reformed theologian Heinrich Bullinger, saw the book's apocalyptic themes as affirming the struggle of true believers against corruption. For the Reformers, Revelation became a powerful symbol of the fight against what they viewed as the Antichrist qualities within the papacy and a call to purity within the Church. The book of Revelation was narrated by the Apostle John, traditionally identified as John, the son of Zebedee, one of Jesus' original 12 disciples, and the author of the Gospel of John and the epistles of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. John introduces himself in Revelation 1:9, saying, "I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." He wrote the book around 95 to 96 AD during the reign of the Roman Emperor Domitian, a time when Christians faced persecution for their faith. The book of Revelation was written at a time of intense persecution of the Christian church. Under Emperor Domitian, Christians were often forced to choose between worshiping the emperor as a deity or remaining faithful to Jesus, resulting in imprisonment, torture, or death. John himself was exiled to the island of Patmos, likely for his public testimony of Jesus Christ. The book addresses 7 churches in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, many of whom were enduring persecution, spiritual complacency, and internal compromise due to pressure from the surrounding Roman culture. John wrote Revelation primarily to encourage, exhort, and provide hope to the persecuted Christians of his time. by revealing a vision of Christ's ultimate victory over evil. The book assures believers that, despite the trials they face, Jesus is sovereign and will return to establish his kingdom fully, bringing judgment upon his enemies and eternal blessing for his people. The apocalyptic imagery and symbolic language aim to strengthen believers to remain faithful, reminding them that God's judgment will be poured out on the wicked and that those who endure will be rewarded. Through Revelation, John encourages believers to resist the pressures to compromise with the world, holding on to the hope of Christ's imminent return and the promise of eternal life. The book of Revelation begins by pronouncing a blessing on those who engage with its message through reading, hearing, and obeying its teachings. This echoes Jesus' words in Luke 6, where he emphasizes the importance of not only hearing, but also acting upon his teachings. The prophecies within this book serve as an expression of God's deep care for his people. They offer a sobering reminder of the fleeting nature of this earthly life and point us towards the eternal hope found in Christ. They highlight his role as our high priest and king, who intercedes for us and reigns over us. Furthermore, these prophecies remind us of our calling to share the good news of salvation with others. Just as a lamp illuminates a dark path, biblical prophecies provide guidance for navigating the challenges of life and offer hope for the future. They serve as a roadmap, leading us towards the ultimate fulfillment of God's plan at the return of Christ and the establishment of his eternal kingdom. Until that day, we rely on these prophetic words to illuminate our way and strengthen our faith. Jesus is the central figure of Revelation. The book begins with him and ends with him. And the Jesus of the Apocalypse is the Jesus of the four Gospels. Revelation continues the description of Jesus and his work of salvation on behalf of his people, as first depicted in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Revelation focuses on different aspects of his existence and ministry, essentially beginning where the Gospels end, with Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. Together with the Epistle to the Hebrews, Revelation emphasizes Jesus' heavenly ministry. It shows that after his ascension, Jesus was inaugurated into his royal and priestly ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. Without Revelation or Hebrews, our knowledge of Christ's high priestly ministry in heaven on behalf of his people would be very limited. As such, it is an extremely important and valuable book. The first verse of this book tells us that the purpose of Revelation is to show future events, starting from the time when the book itself was written. Anyone familiar with Revelation will notice that the prediction of events, whether those already fulfilled, at least from our perspective today, or those events still future, again, from our perspective today, occupies most of the book's content. The primary purpose of biblical prophecies is to assure us that no matter what the future brings, God is in control. Revelation does just that. It assures us that Jesus is with his people throughout this world's history and its alarming final events. Consequently, Revelation's prophecies have two practical purposes: to teach us how to live today and to prepare us for the future. Revelation's end-time prophecies are not revealed to satisfy our obsessive curiosity about the future. The book reveals only those aspects of the future important for us to know. They are disclosed to impress upon us the seriousness of what will happen, so that we will realize our dependence on God, and in that dependence, obey him. For centuries, speculation, and even more sensationalism, has accompanied so much of the teaching regarding end-time events. Fortunes have been made by those who, predicting the immediate end, have scared people into giving money to their ministries because, well, the end was near. Each time, though, the end didn't come, and people were left disillusioned and discouraged. As with all the good things God has given us, prophecy can be misused and misinterpreted. Yes, the end is coming, but no specific date for that end has been revealed, and many of the details remain undisclosed. As we journey through Revelation, we will see that this book is not just a prophetic vision, but a powerful revelation of Christ, filled with hope and encouragement for believers. In it, Jesus is unveiled as the King of Kings, High Priest, and the final Judge, bringing both justice and comfort to his people. May this final book remind us to live faithfully, trusting in Jesus' sovereignty and awaiting his return with eager hearts. Father, we thank you for the gift of your revelation in Scripture, especially the promise of Jesus' ultimate victory and the establishment of his eternal kingdom. Help us to remain faithful as we await his return, filling us with courage and peace through life's challenges. May we draw near to you daily, trusting in your grace and relying on your guidance in all we do. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest, today.